This is Pure Decking, show number 357 for Thursday, July the 18th, 2019. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and reminding you to check the labels on your raw material stocks. I'm Morps. Tonight we have Mad Men. What's up, Mad Men?
Nothing much. I've used up my high-speed data on my phone for the month already. Kind of annoying.
There are so many jokes to make about, you know, public bathrooms and the usage of the cell phone, but we're just going to leave it alone. And RU is here.
I'll try and fix that for you, Madman. This weekend, I'll get a nice collection of websites for you. That'll help you with your problem.
just leaving that where it is, huh?
Well, his problem's my problem, so the ripping of YouTube audio.
Ah.
Oh, dude, the site that we both kind of prefer, it's working again.
It is?
Yes.
I'm gonna make a list, and we'll leave that list in Pure Decking next week, show notes. How's that?
Okay.
Because it's important. That's how I like to get our stuff in. You can't be burning through your data like that just to be listening to Ted Cruz speeches.
Sad, but I never used
a mobile device to rip YouTube. I always do it on the desktop.
Well, we used to, and a lot of the websites we were using stopped working. I just wouldn't process it.
Huh.
Just go, an error has occurred. Yeah. It happened at the same time. Madman and me both noticed it.
Yeah, it's like four or five websites. I think YouTube was attempting to prevent people from ripping their shit and posting it on other sites. Because I believe the scripts that these websites use are also the ones that the attempted YouTube startups use to just pull shit and repost.
Yeah, I mean, they're just streaming it down as a particular format and live converting it. That's why most of the add-ons nowadays for doing it in the browser, you have to install some third-party program, which is kind of a deal killer for me. It's like I'm not installing some shady shit like that.
Yeah, no, I won't. I'm not a third-party person either, but...
The websites have updated, and currently the ball is back in the Pirates' court. Yeah. So YouTube's going to be circling around and attempting to stop it again, but right now, my site is working.
So...
Awesome.
You know, for me... If the site's not working, I always have a third option, which is use the recording rig, because I've already got that built for doing the shows, right? So all I have to do is just play the video and record the audio, because I've already got the system set up to do that.
That's fine, but you've got to play the entire video to record it all?
Yes, I do.
And I don't have time to sit here for 2 hours, 48 minutes, 1 second... wait for that to record through, just to put it on my MP3 player so I can listen to U.S. Senate hearings. You know what I mean?
I understand.
Like, a lot of this stuff that I know that I personally get, I'll get halfway through it and just go, you know what, fuck this shit, I'm out. I cannot do another hour and a half of Ted Cruz. Like, damn it, I want to Wolverine, but you're just not that interesting.
That's what I've been using, Cycros.
Yeah, he's talking about the YouTube DL tool in Linux to pull it down, which I imagine is the same thing a lot of the plugins and things like that do, except it's, you know, a nice little Linux command line utility that you're not getting off some website with, you know, that advertises boner pills. So,
really got to turn my ad block off. I'm missing out on a lot of shit I could probably be needing.
This is the first time I've been exposed to the internet without ad block is on my phone. So I ran out of stuff that I just downloaded onto it, so I was listening to YouTube unfiltered on my phone. I did not realize how many commercials are in YouTube. Their videos now.
Dude, YouTube is gotten terrible.
Fucking ridiculous.
Even the stuff that's like demonetized, because half the things I listen to are demonetized. There's still ads in it, even though no one's getting, or the creators aren't getting money for those ads.
No, YouTube's getting money. So, yeah, it's gotten pretty bad. But,
yeah, that's the other, turned into a damn shit show.
That's the other reason why they kill all these YouTube downloaders, is because then you get the stuff without the ads, right?
Yeah.
So.
But a lot of this stuff now where some of the YouTube guys that I used to watch, and I don't watch them anymore. I'll watch them up until they point out that you can go to their Patreon and give them money. Click fuck off. Like, I don't like stepping over beggars on the street. Fuck no, you're not clogging my internet up with begging.
Dude, you know, last week I actually went down to downtown, and speaking of stepping over beggars, had to, a couple of them. There was one guy sitting on the corner just ranting and raving at anybody who walked by. It's like, yeah, that's right, you fucking ignore me, you don't care about the poor. And, I mean, he was getting in people's faces and shit like that. And he comes up, you know, and I'm walking down the street, and he starts in on me. It's like, you don't give a shit about the poor. I'm like, you're right, I don't, go away. And he did. He didn't know how to respond to that. It was great. Yeah. He just goes, oh, well, fuck you, and just keeps going. I mean, he was high off his ass on something. I mean, he actually looked like your standard issue Hollywood casting hobo, right? I mean, it's like, shit, they don't normally look like that. This one actually looked like he had mental issues. So,
it's the same. In the last 2 years, I've been attempted mugged 3 times. Going in a certain part of town that I know I shouldn't go into. I walk along, some dude just steps in front of you, goes, I'm not a big guy, goes, give us your phone. I go, I don't have one. And they just sort of pause, and I just keep walking. It fucks them up, man.
Bricks a script.
Yep. Because they're expecting you to say no. I don't have one. Keep walking. And I walk with considerable speed, don't get me wrong, and a little bit of poop coming out.
Well, that's just a deterrent to keep them from following you.
It's a meth head part of town, but it saves 35 minutes on a walk, you know, if I cut through there. I'll risk it. What's the worst thing going to do? Take my watch? Oh, don't have one. If you want to look for money in my wallet, I'll help you. But there ain't none there, motherfucker.
Yeah, when the only wallet you carry is the mugger's wallet.
Well, might as well be, you know. Like, home invasion in my house, you're quite welcome. We can look for money together. Because we're not going to fucking find any. I'll go halves with you.
No, home invasion, they're taking your computer equipment and your TV.
Good luck unplugging it. They're going to be here for about 45 fucking minutes. That's what happened with my first ever break-in, Madman. Cable management it's all our thing, really. So every cable for a stereo hookup, TV, VCR, you know, DVD player, the whole lot, PlayStation, all went through a hole that it was just big enough to fit a plug through. So when they came to ripping the TV out, they got it as far as the cable would go. Came to getting everything was just as far as the cable would go, and they were fucked. Because it would have taken half an hour to push all the cabling through individually.
This guy just takes one look at it and says, I'm not cutting all those zip ties. Fuck. Well, fuck it. Just take the TV. We'll buy cables later. Have you looked at the price of cables? Fuck that shit.
Everything was pulled out so the length of the cable would go. It didn't get shit out of my house, man. It just broke my fucking back door in.
Yeah, because they were looking for whatever they could grab quick.
Well, what it was is, dude, I was working on a huge construction site. There were like 40 homes being built all at once. There's hundreds of tradesmen. And, dude, you didn't know and shit like that. And this guy was following single dudes home to their houses, and they're waiting for him to fucking go to work the next morning and stealing all his shit during the day. Right? This guy did it to about 7 or 8 dudes on the building site. It was great when he got bail, though, and came to work. Yeah, probably shouldn't have come to work. Especially after 7 dudes figure out that you're the cunt robbing their houses. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
So how long did it take them to get him out of the concrete mixer after that?
He didn't walk home, let's just say that.
Fair enough. Yeah, well, that's about the answer I expected.
The bricklayers hobbled him. Yeah. Genuine medieval hobbling.
Come on, Madman. Give us a quote of one of your favorite D&D characters.
Cast magic missile?
No. Casting axe to the face would be one of my favorites.
No. I forget the Minotaur character you had, but he talked about hobbling the man animal.
Oh, yeah.
Hobbling the man animal.
To prevent it from running away.
To prevent it from running away. We'd captured some people, and for some reason, the rest of my group thought I was going to kill them. So the halfling wanted me to leave our prisoners with them, and it's a halfling, and I'm like, you can't keep this human by yourself. You're too small. So I was going to hobble the man animal.
Wow.
Yeah, that guy also had a fear of books. Every time he opened one, he got struck by lightning.
Yeah, our games were interesting. Although, at that point, we had our group had such a collection of rings of invisibility because almost every assassin that came after us had them. So it was like, yeah, they weren't worth anything anymore. We had sold so many of them. Like, everyone had them.
Yeah.
Wow.
So. Yeah. He needed to work on his DMing a bit.
Anyways. So let's start with the opening story here. This one's from the BBC. Personal data belonging to millions of Bulgarians has been stolen in a cyber attack on the country's tax agency. According to a local cybersecurity researcher, most adults in the country of 7 million people are likely to have had some data compromised. Bulgarian authorities have arrested a 20-year-old man on suspicion of involvement in the attack. Among the stolen data was names, addresses, some details of personal income, local media reported. The tax agency now faces a fine of up to 20 million euros, a representative for the Commission of Personal Data Protection said. So, the tax agency got hacked, and it's like basically the personal details of every adult in Bulgaria. And now I think is it the EU or maybe it's another part of their government's going to come in and fine them 20 million euros.
I was thinking, if the government's doing that, isn't it just moving 20 million from one place to another?
Well, that's why I'm wondering if it's the EU, because it's in euros.
The EU doesn't really give a fuck about privacy, though.
Oh, they've got some laws. GDPR.
They're kind of some compliance things with their financial systems. Although I don't know how integrated the IRS for Bulgaria would be with the rest of the EU.
Let's see. Yeah, Bulgaria is a member of the EU. I wasn't certain if it was or not. I thought it might have been. So yeah, that's the EU coming in to take 20 million off of them.
Wow. Bulgaria is not a very rich country either. Well, it doesn't strike me as.
Not a very large country. It's the size of Puerto Rico, at least population-wise.
It's safe to say that the personal data of practically the whole Bulgarian adult population has been compromised, said cybersecurity researcher Vasilin Bochev, assistant professor at the Bulgarian Academy of Sciences. I'm pretty sure this guy's first name is Vaseline. I don't mean any disrespect, dude. I don't know how to say your name. The attack occurred in June, but an email purportedly from one of the culprits was sent to Bulgaria media on Monday. It derided the government's cybersecurity standards as a parody. The email also contained an offer of access to the stolen data and said the trove contained information on more than 5 million people as well as businesses. Bulgarian police have said that while they have arrested and charged one man in connection with the incident, they're examining the possibility that others were involved. Well, you sent them a note bragging. How do you think they caught you, you dumbass? The country's finance minister, Vladislav Garnov, has apologized in Parliament for the breach. Mr. Garnov said anyone who attempted to exploit the data would fall under the impact of Bulgarian law. So nobody really cared.
I don't know. Depends on what the Bulgarians do to people that hack their systems.
Well, they're an EU member country, so, you know, I doubt it's anything compared to what North Korea would do.
Yeah, they're not as poor as I thought. $170 billion in GDP.
Well, the thing and that I'm thinking...
The average per capita is $24,000.
You know, 5 million Bulgarians, adults, who are all EU citizens who can basically move freely around the EU... This is going to be a treasure trove for identity thieves for years.
Oh, shit, yeah. Fucking passports alone.
Yeah. I'm thinking even going to be financial. It's just going to be movement of people, especially with all the migration problems the EU has right now.
Nah, they're still going to be doing credit cards and shit. You don't cut off an income stream.
But I'm thinking that's not going to be the primary on this one, like most of the time.
Hey, Hans, would you like to move to Germany? Wait a minute.
Bulgaria, Russian names.
Oh, Russian? Africa's actually where they're probably going to be sold.
Yeah.
Strange, you don't look like a Vlad. Oh yeah, I'm Vlad.
Black man who's fourth generation German Jew.
Sure, why not? I don't know.
My ancestors converted just before the war. It was bad timing.
Mama said Papa was a little slow in the head.
Talk about poor time. All right,
about Trump and double down.
It's like here you go. Here's your yarmulke. Oh fuck. It's not right.
Right out of the mikveh into the fire.
Oh, it's not fucking right. Oh well, man.
Sound
you win
like a dent.
Congratulations, you've won the anti-Semite award for tonight.
You say you starting to sound like a Democrat, then, Madman.
Only Ilhan Omar. But I'm not effeminate enough to pull off her voice.
Yeah, you need to go a couple of octaves deeper.
But, sales of passports. That's something new from the IRS.
Well, you're right. The names are going to be a little tricky to get around. Because I just checked that out. Bulgaria is made up of 98% Bulgarians.
Was that? No, that was Hungarians. Never mind. I was thinking of the Monty Python, translation book sketch, but I think that was Hungarians, not Bulgarians. No? Okay.
And if this no one, how much of a difference would there be?
I have no idea.
You've not seen that one, Madman? John Cleese comes in pretending to be a Hungarian with a translation book that he's trying to buy cigarettes, but it's translating everything he says as, you know, sexual.
I don't remember that one.
Oh, dude. As they're arresting him, he screams, "My nipples explode with delight." I mean, and then the shopkeeper says, I don't think you're using that book properly. Can I try? He takes the book and, the Bulgarian punches him in the face, or the Hungarian. I don't know which one it is now.
I remember the skit. I just don't remember the word for word. It is funny.
Hungarian phrase book. Yeah, it's Hungarian. So, that's okay.
So, do they know how they got into the Hungarian IRS?
Does not say. just that it happened in June and they arrested somebody who was bragging about it. Well, they arrested a 20-year-old. They don't even say it was the same guy who was bragging about it. But generally, I would assume whoever was bragging about it was the one selling it. Because that's the one that, you know, got caught. Because that tends to be how you get caught.
$10 says it was phishing. Some idiot at the IRS clicked a link.
I'm not taking that bet. I'm not losing $10.
Yeah. I mean,
that'd be how it was done.
Oh, and I had a very long conversation with one of my developers a couple of weeks ago who, it's just a couple of phishing emails. Those don't matter. That a fact.
Your developer was clicking on them?
Oh, no. No, he was arguing we shouldn't be blocking some things because we were getting phishing emails from a domain, and it happened to be a shared domain for one that by policy nobody should be using. So we just blocked it. And he comes back, well, no, we were using that. You are aware of the policy that says you're not supposed to use that. Well, we were using that, and it's part of our development. You're impacting production. I direct you again to the part of the policy that says you shouldn't be using that. Well, we needed it. So you're going to need to get an exemption for that because that's not what policy from corporate says. Like, well, I don't understand why you blocked it for just a couple of phishing emails. So, you know, one of the largest file share providing sites. Yeah, you need to get an exemption for that. And there's a policy that says you shouldn't be using it. And it wasn't just a few phishing emails. It was some really good phishing emails that we needed to block. So, yeah, it went round and round with that. And then finally I said, well, why don't you give me a list of URLs to never block? So that we don't accidentally block your stuff. Oh, that would be too hard. What?
Too hard to whitelist stuff?
Yep, he couldn't tell me what his own shit was using. It's like, well, they change repos all the time. I'm like, well, what do you mean you change repos all the time? How do you not know what's going into production? Oh, yeah, side effect where I work. The developers don't know what their code is fucking doing, apparently. So, this is why we drink.
If anyone was going to know what code did, wouldn't it be the person that wrote it?
You think?
Fuck no, dude. They're too busy microdosing LSD.
You'd fucking think. Hell. Let's
like, I always meant to note that. I just keep forgetting to.
And there goes all of my bourbon. Fuck. Anyways, yeah, you guys want to do the next story?
Yeah.
Yep.
This one's from FastCompany.com. An investigation by ABC affiliate WFTS in Tampa Bay, Florida, has found that the state's Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles is selling the personal details of Florida drivers to outside companies, and they're making millions doing it. WFTS obtained records showing that the Florida DMV sold information on Florida drivers and ID card holders to over 30 private companies, including bill collectors, data brokers, marketing firms, and insurance companies. Data brokers then generally go on to resell the information they bought. WFTS says the records show that the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles made more than $77 million for driver and cardholder and ID cardholder information sales in fiscal 2017. One Florida resident told WFTS that just the day after her intellectually disabled sister got a Florida ID, she began getting direct mail offers for lawn services, credit cards, cell phones, insurance, as well as constant robocalls. The Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles, I love how they're spelling out the full name every time, has said that it's since opened an investigation into the matter. While the FHSMV can legally sell driver and cardholder data to third parties, those parties are not allowed to use that information for marketing. WFTS further found out that some of these third-party companies were buying data on Florida residents for as little as one penny per person. And the worst news, a state spokesperson told WFTS there's no way for Florida residents to opt out if they don't want their personal information sold. The actual quote, the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles provides public records as legally required in accordance with federal and state law and as a necessary function in order for customers to effectively conduct business, everyday business. We call them customers, not citizens. That should be your first tell. The department has successfully instituted proactive security measures to ensure customer information is protected and any misuse of customer information will be pursued to the fullest extent of the law. Bullshit. But yeah, the Florida DMV. I mean, the fucking government is selling your contact info to the marketers now.
They're underselling it at one penny.
Right?
It's got to be worth more than that.
I know there are some ways of getting your name that the government can't say no to. If you go to the Register of Deeds, for your deed to be valid, we have to know where it is and who owns it. We're also keeping track of who owns it and who we're selling it to. But what part of my driver's license is required for a transaction that I'm not making?
Well, they're not just getting driver's license, man. They're probably getting your home address, your vehicle number, make and model, and year.
Any information you've given the DMV.
Your home address, like, so that way they can then look at your house, evaluate that for probably
your contact info. Yeah.
Dude, there's a lot you can do with a driver's license, like for actual sales stuff.
Well, not only that,
they
can then look up your address, and because neighborhoods are ranked as far as market value and the general income of that neighborhood, they then know about how much money you spend on what by comparing that to other statistics for that neighborhood, right? So it's like, you're in Orange County. We can send you all kinds of shit because you got money. Or, you know, you're out in the middle of bum fuck Iowa. Well, you know what? We're not going to waste our time on you.
But they're also guessing your political affiliation by the area you live in, things like that.
Yeah, probably.
But if they're buying that level of information, you want to bet they've bought a lot of other stuff and are compiling it. And this is what comes back to what we were saying a few weeks ago, Morps. There's so much data out there. Where do we even start? Like, where's the data point to start?
Use pseudonyms online. That's all I know.
There you go.
Just make up fake identities. That's about all I can. That's illegal to say out loud, isn't it?
If you're not using it to defraud.
Yeah, don't do it to defraud. Just, you know, don't defraud anybody. Just give fake names. I mean, it's not illegal to tell people your name's Dave at Starbucks, especially if you're a chick. You know, just fuck with them, right?
Like, my local pizza shop knows me as Anne Frank.
Yeah,
no one really.
Well, you know.
Hey, you identify how you identify. I'm an Apache attack helicopter myself.
He mostly is just, you know, wanting to make the joke about the ovens, but.
Yes.
You know, that's.
But, it's like, don't give a false name or anything to anyone within authority.
Yeah, don't lie to the cops, but you know, Starbucks doesn't need to know your name. They're selling
Google
coffee
doesn't need
for
to
God's
know your
sake.
Name.
No, like, I realize that Google and Facebook have a real name policy. Fuck them. They're not government agencies, they're companies.
Exactly.
Lie to their ass.
Yeah.
There's nothing illegal. Well, the terms of service say you'll provide your real name. Well, you're lying to them already. Who cares if you break the terms of service? What are they going to do? Ban you? Where?
I can't sell you these DVDs until you give me a fucking email address and phone number. Get fucked.
Yeah, this is why I have a couple of domain names that I can spin up email addresses on anytime I want. Because the best part is, when I don't want those email addresses to exist anymore, they don't.
Exactly.
Actually,
10-minute email is good. I like that.
My absolute favorite was I set up an autoresponder. Basically, it just echoed back any email I got on that domain. And I was using random addresses on that domain for a long-ass time. It was great. Because I have no idea. I checked the logs, and some of these things, you know, there were people getting hundreds of their own spam messages back. Of course, they're not checking them either, but I mean, you know. Sorry, I've been sick all week.
False identity is best.
Yeah, Psychros is correct in pointing out that technically you are violating the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act by lying on a terms of service. So don't,
come at me, bro.
Don't do anything serious with a fake name. Like, that's why we're saying don't lie to the cops. But, you know, or even better, you know, if the service requires your real name, don't use them.
Use an acronym of your real name. There you go. If you really want to feel like you have to use your real name.
Just convince, just say, look, all of my friends call me Obi-Wan Kenobi. So that's the name I put in there.
No, I'm old Ben Kenobi.
Whatever. I forget what the kid said in the interview that got, that was like a meme 10 years ago. The guy told the news that, oh yeah, no, all my friends call me Obi-Wan. Yeah, sure they do.
I like turtles.
I like turtles. You know, just tell everybody, convince them that's your nickname. Everybody knows me as Potato Salad. I mean, you know, I can't help that that's the nickname.
That's dude, my kid, Tater Tot.
How many issues do we have at the meetup when we first met each other? Like, especially talking to hotel clerks. Well, I'm just looking for a dude called Suave Lemon. Yeah, he's about, don't even know what he looks like, really. I've never met him before.
So, okay, look, I don't know what these people look like. It's an internet meetup. Everyone goes by pseudonyms. Actually, I should take go to the front desk. Where are the weirdest looking people that have chucked in today? On that first meetup? Yeah, that's what I did.
Dude, I woke up.
And the chick knew what was going on and pointed out Heavy. So, I mean, it's like, oh, dude.
Well, classic example. I woke up in Saad's house, man. His parents came in that night. I didn't realize. And I'm out having a cigarette. And then his parents came out the back and they're like, ah, who are you? And I'm like, are you? And like, who are you? Are you with, who are you with? And I went, oh, Saad and Faylight.
And they're like, who?
They're like, who? And I'm like, I, to be honest, I don't really know their real names. And they're like, I'm trying to explain, like, it's an internet thing, you know? And
it's a 90s internet thing, but that's okay.
It's about a 20-minute conversation, and Saad's mom's like, oh, okay. And then Saad comes out, and Faylight comes out, and like, dude, what's your real name?
Now, here's the real question.
They didn't remember it either.
Oh, fuck, I don't remember. I remember a handful of real names. One, because we made a joke about it while playing, you know, Munchkin Dungeon game where it was like, you know, somebody's name is well, I don't even want to say it. And I'm like, well, good thing nobody here has named that. And like two of, you know, a couple of people looked at me and they're like, no, that's my real name. I'm like, no, it's not. You're BSV.
And you'll forever be that. And let's move on. Yeah, it just became easier. All right.
So
anyway.
All right, let's you know, after all that fun time, let's make everybody sad. Next article, or you sent me this. American kids would much rather be YouTubers than astronauts. Exactly 50 years ago today, when the article was published, a Saturn V rocket launched from Kennedy Space Center carrying Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins to the moon. 4 days later, Armstrong and Aldrin would land on the moon and inspire a generation of young people to become scientists, engineers, and mathematicians. The Apollo program's effects on inspiring America's children to pursue careers in STEM fields is... Anybody else really not like the acronym STEM?
No, I'm not a fan of it.
I mean, I get it. Science, technology, engineering, haha. But, I mean, it's like, come on.
And
STEM.
First. I kind of question exactly how related they are. Biology has nothing to do with computer programming.
You'd be surprised, madman.
Hey, I can call myself a scientist just like them. I've got plenty of pieces of paper that say so. So, hey, wait, I'm a credentialed scientist. I can get involved in climate change debates. I'm not a climate scientist, but I can say I'm a scientist.
I could be wrong about this, but I think a lot of the early ideas of how networks should be set up were based around ant theory, on how ant hives work. But I could be totally wrong.
I don't remember
that. I think you may have been hallucinating at the time.
I may have been. I've been on drugs for the last 20 years, dude.
It's my memory on that was always that it was around the idea of decentralization so that any damage to the network could just be routed around because no node was ever dependent on another. Now, some of that could have come from Ant Theory. I'm not going to say it didn't.
As I said, you could call me wrong for it.
Although, you know, technically, alchemy is a science. So if you want to get in there with comparing bullshit with all this, right? So.
Yeah, but
no, alchemy didn't use the scientific method. It is not a science.
It didn't.
No, but it tried to make itself out as a science. The same as psychology. The more you get to that, it's not a science.
Now, alchemy was one of our steps towards science.
Yeah.
I thought it used a proto version of the method.
And some physicists like Sir Isaac Newton were alchemists as well.
Everybody was trying to turn lead into gold. And white phosphorus came from a man boiling thousands of liters of urine.
Gross.
Dude, the fucking story is great. I'll tell you it after the show. But essentially, a guy married a wealthy woman, bankrupted her by buying the whole town's supply of urine.
Now, you say that, but the term piss poor actually came from the idea that you would, you know, everyone would piss into the pot in the family, and they would sell the piss to the local leather workers because they would use it for tanning hides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this guy bought up all the piss, made a thing called white phosphorus at the time, didn't realize what it was used for, showed it as a, like, parlor trick.
I bet that ended well.
Yeah, well, they didn't know what to use it for. And at the end of the day, the guy ended up dead broke and sold the patent to it to a Frenchman who then turned it into a white lightning in a bottle or fire in a bottle or some shit like that, and they used it to light the courts of France, and the guy made millions just because he bought the patent.
Lucked out. Found yep. Somebody who didn't know what he had.
Exactly.
So, the Apollo program's effective of inspiring America's children to pursue careers in STEM fields is one of the most powerful, lasting legacies of the moon race. You're not mentioning the microwave there, buddy. A little disappointed. Figure that's a bigger legacy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say everybody uses that thing to cook. Unfortunately, this effect seems to be coming to an end. On the eve of the Apollo 11 anniversary, LEGO asked the Harris Poll to survey a total of 3,000 children in the United States, China, and the United Kingdom about their attitudes toward and knowledge of space. The results reveal that, at least for Western countries, kids today are more interested in YouTube than spaceflight. So here's the graph in the article. In China, 56% of kids want to be an astronaut, 52% want to be a teacher, 47% musician, 37% professional athlete, 18% want to be a vlogger or a YouTuber. And the United Kingdom, now I'm guessing that kids were able to rank what they wanted, because those things don't add up anywhere near 100%.
I'd say it was out of 100. They were told to rank it.
Yeah. In the United Kingdom, at number one, at 30%, is the vlogger YouTube. 25% is a teacher. 21% is professional athlete. 18% is musician. And 11% is astronaut, so dead last. And in the U.S., the numbers aren't that different. Vlogger, YouTuber at 29%, teacher at 26%, professional athlete at 23%, musician at 19%, and astronaut at, again, 11%. Asked what they would like to be when they grow up, about 3 in 10 American and British children replied that they wanted to be YouTubers or vloggers. Careers making videos on the internet for fame or fortune. Yeah, right. I mean, okay. For every, I mean, it's worse than rock and roll, right? So for every, you think about how many people are trying to make it in the music industry and realize it's like 1% of that actually makes any money. Vloggers has got to be like 1 in 1,000,000 or 1 in 1,000. It's basically winning the lottery, but you have a job.
You'll never see PewDiePie again. You'll never see another PewDiePie.
Well, they've also rigged the game to prevent somebody like PewDiePie from happening again.
Yeah. It's fucking ridiculous goal to have, man. Like, it just shows how far that we've become a narcissistic fucking society.
They're wanting fame for the sake of fame, not fame for doing something.
Exactly. Like, you think about it. Astronauts picked what? When they're in their 30s to 40s, they have to really excel in a certain field of science. You know, not everyone's going to be an astronaut either.
Well,
it just takes a shit ton of work to be one.
Not only do they have to be either an exceptional pilot or, you know, a high, you know, very high end scientist, they have to be in physical, you know, physically fit enough to go into space.
Physically, mentally,
that shit wrecks you.
Yeah, it's a hell of a lot of work to go, I want to be an astronaut, and also too, you have to hit the genetic lottery. You have to hit the IQ lottery. A lot of work, but if you really are setting the bar low as a young person, go, I want to be a YouTuber.
Well, I think
if they were to say, I want to build the next YouTube platform,
oh,
I'm
sure.
Like, rock on, little Billy. Go at it. You're going to need those sciences for that, though.
Well, here's the thing. What I don't see on any of these is movie star, right? And I remember seeing that when I was a kid, when they always said, oh, what do you want to be when you grow up? That was always one of the choices, right? Well, I wonder if YouTuber vlogger has replaced movie star.
Could YouTuber be. May have. I don't think blogger has.
Well, I don't think they knew what a vlogger was.
Blogger, I think, may have replaced reporter.
Yeah, that's what they're saying when they say vlogger. They mean an influencer or a, one of the... what's the word you use? There's influencers, and then there's the ones that convince people to join their opinion.
No, influencer, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Either way. But you could be right. That's why that one wasn't on there.
Well, you know, if I ever do a YouTube channel, weird. I'll be one of those assholes you never actually see. You just, like, see the hands and the projects.
I don't know. I think Cycross may have a point. It might not be narcissism. It could be laziness and naivete. They want to get paid to pay. They want to get paid to play video games.
Yeah,
I could see that.
I could see that. Yeah, I'll go with that as well. I think it's a column of both. But teacher, that was an interesting one. Who would want to be a teacher?
Well, again, I think it's what they it's the influence, right? Most kids, they're in school right now, so they see that as an option. And, you know, again, in China, you know, I mean, in all of them, teacher was second, right? Like, in China, astronaut was first. In UK and US, you know, YouTuber was first. Teacher was second in all of them. Then it's musician, professional athlete. So professional athlete and musician are swapped. But the order in the UK and the US is the same.
I'm kind of surprised police officer and fireman weren't on there.
Yeah.
Or weren't high on there.
But then again, Madman, this is the age of oppression. You know, they are the people keeping the masses down. They are the oppressors.
I can see the police department falling under that, but the fire department? Growing up, either of y'all ever want to be either of those? For a while, I was actually planning on going into the police academy.
No, I wanted to be a marine biologist. Then by the time I figured out what a marine biologist was, I didn't want anything to do with marine biology.
I wanted to be a mad scientist, but I couldn't tell my parents that, so I always said inventor.
Okay, that's what a mad scientist is.
Yeah. Yeah, once I figured out that there are animals in marine biology that would pretty much fucking kill you, I decided no.
There are animals in every form of, we're studying animals that can fucking kill you, dude.
Yeah, but the drowning and getting killed drowning, yeah, that really just...
He just decided fucking, he didn't want to get raped by a dolphin.
Yeah, it was a deal breaker, man. It was up to probably 13 years old. I wanted to do that, and then...
Even YouTubers, they're not even specifying a skill, because all of us here, we have favorite YouTube channels and we watch them.
Sure.
Yeah.
More than half of the YouTube channels I watch, you have to be skilled to be that YouTuber. Like, I watch people inventing shit. Well, not just building things more than inventing things.
Is comical observation a skill?
Well, yeah, stand-up comedy is a skill.
I mean, whether it's a skill or a talent, anybody with a YouTube channel that you're watching, they have one of the two. Either what they're doing is interesting enough that you care about it and you don't care about the fact that they're not presenting it that well, or what, you know, they themselves are making it interesting no matter what it is. You know, that's how PewDiePie, for example, got so big, is the dude was playing, you know, he was getting millions of views just, you know, playing with Google. You know, that's just entertainment value.
The main one I listen to is because he's funny and interesting in what he has to talk about. And the other one is because they're very good at deconstructing video, as in pulling apart a movie. And the other one's because they're good at the games.
Yeah.
They're inventive when it comes to games. So, yeah. No, they all have some talent and probably deserve a little bit of money, but they don't deserve, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in fucking internet fame or mainstream fame. And I think all three that I watch wouldn't want that.
Yep. Rats is mentioning Great Scott in the IRC. Absolutely. Dude does decent videos on electronics. If you're doing electronics, there's also Big Clive and...
Who's the dude that zaps himself all the time?
I can't think of his name.
That guy's fucking great.
Medi something, but I'm trying to think of his... Electro Boom. That's his channel. It's Electro Boom. He's pretty good. He hasn't zapped himself as nearly as much as he used to. And he did basically admit stick. That he was faking all of it.
Yeah, that was his stick, though. It's good. You know, but he took what could be essentially a very boring topic and pizzazzed it, man. Made it interesting.
EVV Blog. Or that's not his channel. I think it's just EVV. That's the Australian guy who does the electric engineering, who's pretty good.
Can't listen to Australians.
My problem with him, honestly, his voice is so high-pitched.
Western Australian?
Yeah.
That's where, yeah.
And, but I mean, he does a good job. He's funny. He's just, his voice is high-pitched and hard. It's hard for me to listen to. But, yeah. There's several of them on the electrical front, but, you know, of course, then you got like Primitive Technology, that dude, like, you know, he's actually going out in the bush and doing shit, right? So,
you know, they're doing... I read a vlog about how he's a Nazi.
No, probably. Who cares?
I know, it's fucking hilarious.
You know, I've got a ton of 3D print channels I follow. I don't want to sit here and name YouTube channels all day.
Oh, no, there's a few I do. Like the one I'd plug is It's a Gundam, and Gray still play gay, Gray, Gray, Gay, Gray, still plays. They're two interesting ones that I like.
Yeah.
Then if I'm not watching all the political stuff, though, that takes up the bulk of it.
Yeah, actually, I got on a kick doing Gaming Historian not too long ago because he was going into a bunch of the emulators and shit like that. But
remember that dude, the VHS guy I got into for a while?
Yeah.
That guy was amazing, yeah. I watched all his stuff.
So,
but he started out like fucking stuttering, you know, wobbly camera, bad mic. By the time he got halfway through his series, he'd invested in mics and stuff. He took it seriously. And, yeah, it paid off for him.
Well, I mean, listen, fuck you. Talk about us. Go listen to some of the early IHN shit.
Oh, shit. It's inaudible.
Well, we were pumping it through Second Life, too, which really doesn't help. None of us had good mics. I had that headset that was echoing everything you said back until I took it apart and figured out, oh, fuck, it actually had wires crossed in there.
I mean... Well, I was going to actually invest in another mic setup and stuff like that. It's like, nah, I don't need that level of mic. I'm good. Not the greatest sound out of this one, but it'll do for a while. I just got to get another pop filter.
Yeah. All right, let's do the next one. This is one you sent me. UK workers who lose jobs to AI will be retrained. Workers whose jobs might become obsolete as a result of automation are to receive help in retraining from a new national government scheme. Up to 20 million manufacturing jobs around the world could be replaced by robots by 2030, according to analysis by firm Oxford Economics. The scheme will support workers by helping them find a new career or gain more skills should their jobs change. The program will be trialed initially in Liverpool. Technologies like AI and automation are transforming the way we would live and work and bringing huge benefits to our economy, said Education Secretary Damian Hines. It also means that jobs are evolving and some roles will soon become a thing of the past. Yeah, we don't exactly have many people operating a horse and buggy carriage anymore. So, you know, shit happens. The National Retraining Scheme will be pivotal in helping adults across the country whose jobs are at risk of changing gain new skills and get on the path to a new, more rewarding career. This is a big and complex challenge, which is why we are starting small, learning as we go, and releasing each part of the scheme only when it's ready to benefit its users. According to Oxford Economics, people whose jobs become obsolete because of industrial robots and computer programs are likely to find that comparable roles in the service sector have also been squeezed by automation. On average, each additional robot installed in lower-skilled regions could lead to nearly twice as many job losses as those in higher-skilled regions of the same country, exacerbating economic inequity and political polarization, which is growing already, the analysis firm found. Professor Alan Woodward, a computer expert from the University of Surrey, said that although automation will lead to some job loss, or to loss of some jobs, this is inevitable because it is now far cheaper to manufacture products in other countries. Automation is not here to put people out of work. It's here to free them up, he told the BBC. We're better off using people's brains, not their hands, things that machines can't do. That's what we should be heading toward. I don't think he's wrong in that, by the way, but that's okay.
Yes, but a lot of people that work with their hands do it because they lucked out in the IQ department. I'm not saying they're stupid or anything. They're just not going to be a chartered accountant or a fucking doctor. You know?
Tech UK, the body representing the UK tech industry, said it welcomed the government's move. It is right that the government is starting small to ensure lessons are learned and adaptations are made along the way, but the ambition to scale so that this becomes a truly national retraining scheme cannot be lost. Tech UK's head of policy, Vinos Ali told the BBC. While the focus is on job displacement, the fact is that no job is likely to remain untouched by the fourth industrial revolution, so we all need to learn new skills. This means we need to be making superficial or significant investments in lifelong learning and helping people navigate pathways through change. I don't know. The first time I saw that headline, I thought it said retained, not retrained. So I thought, you're going to make it illegal to fire anybody.
But this isn't going to work. The training's not going to take for all. And what are they going to train them into if they're already low-skilled workers?
Not all low-skilled workers are low-skilled because of stupidity.
No,
sometimes it's the laziness.
Yeah, that didn't make it any better, Madman. I'm trying to be at least somewhere in the middle here. I'm not retarded, but there's no way I'm going into a sector that requires spelling and punctuation. You know what I mean?
Word takes care of that for you now.
There's no level of training to fucking get me into that.
All right, so let's say you work at Toyota and your assembly line goes away because they were finally able to get a robot to do the job that you're doing. You might not be able to do anything in accounting because of too much writing, but do you think you could be an automotive mechanic?
Yeah, I probably could be.
The problem isn't that, would one of the guys on the line become a decent automotive mechanic? Sure, several of them probably would. The problem is you've got 10 guys you've just replaced with one robot.
Awesome. It doesn't take a lot of brain power to be an electrician.
Oh,
I would,
yeah,
you need to be able to read some plans, but it doesn't take an ex you need to be like average or above average. Well, you need to be about average intelligence. I mean, we're not going to get retards doing it, but it doesn't take a lot of brain power.
I mean, anybody can be a mechanic. It's pretty fucking simple, right? It's the diagnostics. Mm-hmm. You've got to be able to figure out what's wrong with the thing.
Well, Man, I might argue with you on the electrician thing, because if you're not a very good electrician, you tend not to make it very far in that industry, usually because you just died because you've electrocuted yourself.
Wait, your job's opened up. I know some electricians, they're not idiots, but we're also not talking rocket science.
Yeah, they're good electricians because they can diagnose problems and stuff like that.
They can run wires. You're talking the first level of electricians, which, granted, they might never become masters, but you don't need to be a master to wire a house. You need to be able to read a circuit diagram. Not that difficult.
Then, I like what Psychro's just put in the IRC. I have worked with a lot of morons who make me rethink what the term average means.
Okay, I'll grant that to you.
That's a George Carlin bit, isn't it? Think about how dumb the average fucker is and realize half of them are dumber than that.
People are dumber than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. The retraining thing, it just sounds like another government project that's just going to piss away money with fuck all outcomes.
It depends on how they do it.
Dude, it's the UK. I'm going with that. They do their shit like Australia does because we're all in the Commonwealth. It's just a big, giant piss away of money. It's 6 weeks worth of bullshit training that most people show up drunk and high to. Because they're getting paid to go to the training by the government. They know they can't get kicked out of the fucking training. So it's a 6-week vacation to get drunk every fucking day and get high. I know this because when I went after my injury and they said, hey, what would you like to do? And I said, well, I'd like to do that. They said, well, you need a Cert 4 to start with. We'll give you that for free. And then you can do your stuff after that. I went to that Cert 4 training for fucking 12 weeks. Everybody there was a fucking retard. I mean, dude, they're all fucking high, and most of them smell like booze after lunch. Yeah, it was a shit show.
Then that one, it's not, can we retrain them for a job? It's, they're not employable.
Yeah, no. I mean, the people that were there, it was a free course, 14 weeks, so it's quite a bit of money, really, that the government's investing in you. To get started again in your life, I wasn't going to piss that away. I worked my fucking ass off. See, I got my job. But,
so, yeah, I'm just thinking.
I don't know,
though,
I just can't see it working, man.
Well, I'm just thinking in terms of, like, if I'm an employer and I have a choice between some 35, 40-year-old dude who's just went through a government retraining class or a fresh college graduate who has little to no family and little to no, you know, significant debt, I'm going to go for the college grad because I can pay them less. If you go grab the 35 to 40-year-old who's been retrained, who's got a family, who's got a mortgage, who's got a car payment, they're going to want significantly more money than that inexperienced college grad who I can really take advantage of.
I don't know. If you're talking about debt, that inexperienced college grad may owe a lot more due to his student loans than the 40-year-old guy who may have already paid off his house.
Yeah, but they haven't figured that out yet. You can pay an experienced college grad a hell of a lot less than somebody who knows what they're on about.
And also, too, he will be able to help me understand lesbian theory to basket weaving. The older gentleman's just going to look at me like, what the fuck, dude? Anyway.
Just hire a unicorn. Yeah, you're not wrong. Oh, because the debt. No. I'm not saying they don't have debt. I'm saying they don't know they have debt yet. They haven't started getting the phone calls. They haven't started realizing what those payments are. So. Anyways, next article. This one's from Reuters. Or, you know, Reuters, as we used to say to piss somebody off. Amazon Inc. has a promotion for its U.S. shoppers on Prime Day, which has already passed. The 48-hour marketing blitz that started on Monday earned $10 of credit if you let Amazon track the websites you visit. Your privacy is worth $10 in Amazon store credit.
Now, how long are they tracking this?
The deal is
I'm going to fuck somebody's mind up.
The deal is for new installations of the Amazon Assistant, a comparison shopping tool that customers can add to their web browser. It fetches Amazon prices for products that users see on Walmart.com, Target, and elsewhere. In order to work, the Assistant needs access to the user's web activity, including the links and some page content they view. The catch, Amazon explains in the fine print, is the company can use this data to improve its general marketing products and services unrelated to the shopping assistant. The terms underscore the power consumers routinely give to Amazon and other big company technology or other big technology companies when using their free services. In this case, Amazon gains potential insight into how it should tailor marketing and how it could stamp out the retail competition. This data is often used for training machine learning models to do better at targeting, said Bennett Cyphers, a technologist at the nonprofit Electronic Frontier Foundation. But in the U.S., there aren't really restrictions on what you can do with this kind of data. Amazon has already more than 7 million customers using its assistant via Google Chrome and Mozilla Firefox, and according to data published by those web browsers. Other companies offer similar shopping tools, while another technology known as Tracking Pixels shows Amazon information from visitors to roughly 15% of the top 10,000 websites, the assistant lets Amazon follow a smaller set of users page to page, Cyphers said. Amazon's combination of tools still pales in comparison to data collected by Alphabet Inc.'s Google, which has tracking pixels on most web pages. Let's see. Amazon did not discuss how it uses the data, blah, 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 blah. So, yep, you know, your privacy is worth $10 of Amazon store credit.
Nope.
Nothing?
Worth it. Not worth it, man. Not for $10.
But think of what all you can have somebody look at. Because they're going to have an individual review this shit to see what you're going through.
Yeah, but they're only going to get grossed out by eFuck for so long.
Well, it's going to be like the people who review things at Microsoft and Facebook, where, you know, they're routinely, you know, checked into, therapy for PTSD from viewing all this shit.
Getting high and fucking each other in stairwells just to relieve the stress. Once again, they could hire me as long as they allow me to take a hard drive with me.
Rats is saying the audio is getting weird, although I'm also seeing him getting kicked in and out of the IRC. Anybody else listening live? Is the audio messing up for anybody else? My connection looks pretty clean. TeamSpeak sounds good.
I just jumped on the player and it seems fine.
All right.
Sorry, Rats.
Just you, buddy. Let's see. You know, I like what Psychros is thinking. You know, how can you make this not your primary browser and manage what you give them? Yeah, you run it in a virtual machine.
Ooh, then have a bot skip around different websites.
You're going to get some interesting offers in your email after that one. Let's, you guys ready for the next one? You want to beat on that some more?
Ready for the next one.
Next one is from MacRumors.com. The information's Wayne May has published an interesting story about the measures Apple takes to prevent leaks of unreleased products like iPhones from emerging out of factories within its Asia supply chain. After photos of the colorful iPhone 5C leaked in 2013, the report claims Apple created a new product security team to monitor security at its most sensitive suppliers in China. At one point, the team reportedly topped more than 30 people, but Apple is said to have been moving some of the work to contractors as of late. Apple recruited former U.S. military and intelligence operatives, fluent in Chinese, to be security managers on the team and hired third-party auditors tasked with visiting factories on a weekly basis, the report adds. The security team is said to have uncovered workers going to extreme lengths to smuggle valuable components out of the factories over the years. Some attempting to hide parts in crawl spaces, tissue boxes, shoes, belt buckles, bras, used mop water, under discarded metal shavings, and beyond. Apple once even caught factory workers digging a small tunnel in the corner of a room behind a large piece of machinery, hoping to use it to funnel stolen components to the outside, according to the report. People were chipping away little by little at the wall, Shawshank Redemption style, one person said.
Wow. That's fucking great.
Yeah, examples from the report. Trash bags must be clear and screened for metal before they are removed from the premises. Storage containers must be sealed with tamper evidence stickers. Parts must have unique serial numbers that can be traced back to specific factory lines. And inventory must be counted daily. Suppliers who suffer leaks may face multi-million dollar fines, according to the report, although Apple's primary manufacturer, Foxconn, is said to be excluded from this policy due to the size of its relationship with Apple. Yeah, if Foxconn said, we're not making anything for you anymore, they would be fucked for about a year, at which point they would establish manufacturing in a different third world country, and that'd be about it. But, yeah, they would be fucked for about a year, and is Apple willing to eat a year of profit to move manufacturing if they had to? Give or take. 6 months? Year? I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe longer. Because, I mean, they'd have a lot of manufacturing they'd have to move.
Well, as far as making screens and everything, South Korea and Taiwan have similar facilities to Foxconn already set up. How long does it take to just hand you specs and say, build this?
Yeah, but then the price goes through the roof because you've got to remember a lot of Foxconn is pretty much slave labor. They keep them in there and they lock them up and stuff like that. Hence the suicide nets and the bars on the windows.
Hmm.
Maybe that's
what they were digging in the tunnel for, just a way out.
Probably.
They don't need to put locks on the doors. They have a 6-month waiting list to start working there. Foxconn pays shit because of what we make. Foxconn does not pay shit as far as the surrounding employment opportunities.
By the suicide nets.
That's because people try to kill themselves.
So, I tell you what, I know we talked about it, but I'm going to let you guys hang on to the story where you accused me of swerving into your lane, just because we're already at an hour and 7 minutes. So, let's do this. So, we don't lose that link. There's Madman, hang on to that. That's an IHN story.
Awesome.
Let you guys keep that one. And for Dojo tonight, I've only got one thing. And that's this interesting little script called GitGot. It's a Python script. It's a semi-automated feedback-driven tool to empower users to rapidly search through troves of public data on GitHub for sensitive secrets. During search sessions, users will provide feedback to GitGot about search results to ignore, and GitGot prunes the set of results. Users can blacklist files by name, repository name, username, fuzzy match, all the file contents. Blacklists generated from previous sessions can be saved and reused for similar queries. So pretty much, this is a tool for searching through GitHub repositories for whatever it is you want. Whether that's open data, SSH keys, AWS keys, take your pick.
Very nice.
You know, there's all kinds of uses for this thing. Probably the most legitimate one would be searching your own company's, you know, searching GitHub for like your company secrets. Like if you have certain numbers, strings of numbers, things like that, you'd want to make sure you don't accidentally see get published anywhere. Or maybe like internal strings, things that you know only your company are going to be involved with. This would be a good use of that. And again, you know, AWS access keys, so you can, you know, mine Bitcoin and other people's credit cards, right? Don't actually do that. That's kind of an asshole thing to do. But and if you do that and you get caught, you deserve what you get. So
if you do, make sure you use your real name and address.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, disregard everything we talked about earlier in the show. All right, that's all I've got for tonight. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site and the subreddit in the IRC. Tonight we had myself, Sardonic, Psychros, Her Rats, and Madman. Madman, closing thoughts.
This one is kind of sent out to Rats. You were asking how Foxconn's North American factory is doing. It's somewhat okay. It's tied up in some legal issues. Indirectly, the state of Illinois is actually suing the EPA because the EPA has given Foxconn certain pollution exemptions. So they're not quite running it as a third world factory, but they could be, at least as far as pollution goes.
Huh.
But they are spinning it up, and it's going to be making phones and shit in the U.S.
Well.
All right, are you? Closing thoughts.
No IHN this week. Our panel operator is going to do something. And, yeah, this week has just been one of those weeks, and I'm glad I haven't killed myself. I love the news this week. It's been fantastic. Keep going, you orange man. Make my day. If you're not into politics, man, yeah, you missed out this week. It's been fantastic.
All right, guys. Oh, do you have something else?
I'm done.
All right.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Johnson goes down and call the night.
But shut up, Wesley.